Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. Welcome. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, nutrition, all included on the Sports Doctor. I hope everybody's final four brackets worked out well. And the excitement of March Madness is pretty crazy. And down to the final four amazing factor in coaching and college sports, which is this University of UConn for the 12th year in a row. They're in the Final Four. This coach, imagine, just unbelievable. Great doubleheader today. We've got Michael Boyle. He's one of the world's foremost educators in performance and personal training. He's trained many athletes, stars, pros, and in the Olympics. He's going to be joining me. And then Scott Anderson, he's an advisor for Crash Course, this innovative concussion world at TeachAids. He's a clinical officer with SynThink. It's the head injury technology, and he's a former sports med leader at Stanford. And then it's the sports doctors in, and we'll answer some emails and talk about upcoming shows. First, I want to welcome from Boston, Michael Boyle. Again, Michael has been so involved in the world of sports performance and conditioning. His company, Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, was founded in 1997. In 2009, 2010, Men's Health named his organization one of the top 10 workout facilities in the United States. Michael, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Great. I'd like to have you jump right in and talk about what you do and mix in some background with your world and sports performance and personal training.
So what I do, I guess I would classify myself as a strength and conditioning coach. I still coach every day. Right now I coach my son and his friends who are 14 years old. I have a group of women that I'm coaching who are training for the next Olympics in women's ice hockey. I just finished up with some Major League Baseball players who are now off to spring training and starting their season. And I'm waiting for the NHL playoffs to start, and then we'll start seeing some of our NHL, AHL guys getting back in the gym probably somewhere around May 1st.
Wow, I have a secret for you in the world of skating. I've been putting orthotics in skates pushing four decades, whether it was the Blackhawks years ago. Yes, the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, Evan Lysacek, grew up in Naperville, Illinois. He was 10 years old. We put orthotics in his skate. 13 years later, he was the best in the world. Alignment, speed, stability. So that's my pearl for you, sports doctor, which is I've never had a coach in ice hockey or skating call me and say, hey, doc, you slowed him down by putting orthotics in this skate. I will mix in your world, absolutely, which is strengthening the foot and ankle and all the strengthening. My second pearl is my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, which I'm going to send you, as you mentioned, you're coaching and working with your son in that particular area. So you go back quite a bit in the strength and conditioning. You've worked with many different athletes and pros. And tell us about Mike Boyle strength and conditioning. What are the things that make big sense to you when you're talking about whether it's strengthening your 14-year-old or pros?
Well, I think it's always the same. I've been doing this actually for 38 years. I've been actually coaching at the college level or above for the last 38 years. I'm almost 60 years old. I'm 59 in a few months. And the reality is it's fairly simple in terms of we always talk about strength training is very, very simple. We want people to sprint. We want people to jump. We want people to throw things, basically medicine balls. And then we want them to lift weights, and then we want them to get in condition for their sport. I tell people all the time, it is a very simple process when you understand it.
Absolutely. And I, of course, mix in. I don't care what the sport is or how what the age of the athlete. We want to pay big attention to strengthening the feet and ankles. Of course, I'm prejudiced as a sports podiatrist. But a lot of times it's still amazingly left out. And work balance. Hey, listen, you were with the you were working with the 2013 World Series champion Red Sox, didn't you?
Yes, I was. I managed to work. I worked for the Red Sox in 2012 and 2013, got a World Series ring in 2013. That was a lot of fun. I tell people now that I've worked in almost every sport imaginable, and the best athletes are the baseball players. I know people hate to hear that because they don't always look it, but they are. There's no question.
Point. That's a very interesting point coming from an expert like you. You know, we have contests a couple times a year on the Sports Doctor, and we throw out there, what sport requires the best athlete? I don't get a lot of answers necessarily that it's the baseball players in some respects. But, heck, I put orthotics in Bill Buckner's shoes, man, with the Cubs years and years ago. So it's an interesting point. And I always like to emphasize, again, the importance of working in youth sports and youth athletes, because we do have, Michael, and I want to ask you about it after I pop in, we have an epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries, both mentally and physically. I want to talk to you about what you pay attention to. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go over to radio shows. You can go back a decade, maybe, give or take a few weeks, and you can see the myriad of guests and topics that we deal with in all aspects of health, wellness, and sports medicine. As everybody knows who listens to my show, sports performance of the youth athlete or the great grandpa is something that's very important to the Sports Doctor. You can go over to newspaper articles and magazines. And you read on all sorts of topics. What is the best shoe for your son or daughter? What are the things you really included in your book, hashtag megaphone, hey sports parents? And articles on concussions. And one of my most popular articles, which is women in high heels accepting the challenge. We have a lot of followers on Twitter. We have all sorts of topics, information at Sports Doc. DOC Radio. We're talking with Michael Boyle from Boston. He's a world leader in sports performance. He's an educator. He's a speaker on so many of these important topics. But I want to ask you, Michael, the challenges of the young athlete. You mentioned, you know, your son's 14 years old. There's so much overkill, and there's so much challenge with these sports. What's important to you?
Well, what's important, it's funny. Joe Ehrman's book, Inside Out Coaching, if you've ever read it, I love. He calls parenting the most competitive sport in America. And the
right.
Number one thing that's wrong with youth sports is youth parents. And parents, I always say, when we apply adult values to kids' activities, we screw the kids' activities up.
Yes.
And so we end up in a situation where parents naturally... For you to be a great podiatrist, you got to focus on being a podiatrist. For me to be a great strength coach, I have to be a great strength coach. That does not apply to young athletes. So what we end up with are all these kids that are specializing in one sport because their parents think that to them that's extremely logical. And it is.
Yes.
Except
well, I have
it doesn't
a question
work.
For you, Michael. one of the chapters in my book is called The Prodigy Sports. And, of course, I mentioned to you figure skating is sure certainly one of them where you have 10, 11-year-olds. That's great, Michael. I know you want me to play other sports, but I don't want to play. I'm a gymnast. I'm a dancer. So there is that category, which is, you know, again, that's my argument regarding specialization. Yes, I'd love all these kids to play multiple sports, but when we're talking the prodigy sports, and, again, 14 years old, you're already many times, whether you like it or not, this kid is playing 7 days a week, soccer or tennis or whatever, and we need to also come up with great programs, and I know that you profess a lot of them, which are, you know, these strength and conditioning programs. When we're talking about repetitive motion injuries, another topic in my book, Michael, is called youth sports and drugs. It's a hot topic on the Sports Doctor, where again you see youth athletes, you know, they're living on Advil or over-the-counter medicine. Now, some of the best things I have to throw in about youth sports is also the parents, Dad. It is. It's one of the best things. But it also is, like you said, on the competitive sports side, there's so much overzealousness. And that's why I always ask people in your world, whether you're dealing with the pros or you're dealing with the parents or the kids, I got to ask, you know, Mike, how your sports psychology skills are.
Well, you know, I think you don't have to have sports psychology skills as much as you have to have common sense. Because even when you said the prodigies, the reality is, I worked with Ali Raisman, who won a gold medal, multiple gold medals in the Olympics. But there are so few of those kids, actually,
yes,
that achieve at the highest level. You need to look at youth activities as being preparatory for adulthood, not as some means to an end, an Olympic medal or some elusive whatever thing. You know, like I said, it makes, this is what I mean about parents. Like, who's a real prodigy? I mean, you know, maybe Yo-Yo Ma or a real Ali,
yes,
Raisman or one of these people. But for every so-called prodigy, there's 100 failures, 1,000 failures, maybe 1,000,000 failures.
True.
Where kids,
true,
were forced to do things,
yes,
that they didn't want to do. And they're forced, yes, it's the parent living through the kid. It is so rare to find the real, and I'm telling you, I've been doing this my whole life, so have you, to find the real, true kid that, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to do it because I want to do it. I want to do it for me. Kids are trying to please their parents all the time, even,
yes,
when parents don't
I'll
know
send
it.
You,
and parents,
I'll send you a hundred.
I'm sorry.
I'll send
Let
you
me just finish. Excuse me.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, no, but that's my point. Figure skating and gymnastics are organized child abuse. Like, it's just, it's pointless. So few of those kids are ever going to get anything out of it except lifelong pain that it makes no sense to me when I look at it. I think,
Michael,
why?
What's your website? What's your website?
Well, I have numerous ones. Our business website is probably bodybyboyle.com is the best one to find me.
Okay, Body by Boyle, B-O-Y-L-E,
yes,
.com.
Yeah.
And the excitement and the challenge of working again with at the pro, the Olympic, working with a major league team where, you know, Michael, you got to get me better yesterday. You know, it's one of the reasons why I have relabeled performance-enhancing drugs. Are you ready?
Yep.
It's called performance surviving. Being in the world where you have stars and schedules and superstars, you know, you're working with, again, you've got the World Series ring, you got, you work with the gymnastics. Did you ever do anything with Rob Andrews from the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston who worked with the women's gymnastics team?
I have not. No, Allie's the only one I've worked with.
Okay.
Of that group. She's a Boston kid.
Yes. So when you have, again, not, and prodigy is just a label of the name, but when you have many, many of these kids, you know, my son is 12 years old. He wants to play tennis 5 days a week. I want to do, this is what he wants to do, or she's playing soccer. That's what she wants to do. And I want to come up with a very good strengthening program so that I could try to prevent. I don't expect them necessarily that we know to be a college, a scholarship or something like that. But I would like somebody. I have found that to be a big area, Michael, where we were looking at somebody like yourself to really come up with a good program for these young athletes.
I mean, that's what we do. I mean, that's really right now, that's sort of the bread and butter of our business. But I want to go back a step because you say, you know, when you have a kid who says, that's what I want to do. The example I use, if your kid came to you and said, I want to vape in the basement, or all I want to do is play video games, or I want to try heroin, you know what I mean? You don't say, okay, that's what you want to do, so you're going to do it. My daughter got a full scholarship to college to play ice hockey at 15 years old. She played her last year of youth soccer the same year she got a scholarship in ice hockey because I didn't let her quit soccer. She wanted to play just hockey. All I want to do is play hockey. That's what I really love. I said, I don't care. If you want to be a good athlete, you're going to play multiple sports. My son is 14, wanted to quit hockey this year to concentrate on lacrosse. I said, no. As parents, we have responsibilities to say no to our children. I don't understand why that's such a crazy thing for people in the world of sports. Or that's what my kid wants to do. I say, substitute any negative activity besides sports for that.
Well, you'd immediately say,
I'm going to draw the line here.
Yes, but you're talking about on the other side of the coin, a kid who wants to be able to play. A lot of times I find multiple sports, we run into all sorts of overuse injuries also because the schedules are so demanding. I think that's one of the big challenges today is the schedule. I can imagine, you know, the 162-game baseball season and trying to keep these guys physically sharp, the world of strength and conditioning. But you're part of a big team when you're talking about a major league team. I would imagine that's quite an experience.
Yeah, it was great. But in our situation, we had two massage therapists, a physical therapist, three athletic trainers, and two strength and conditioning coaches for about 26 guys. So you've got a pretty good team, and some of the better organizations in sports are realizing that you should have a proportional amount spent on the care of the assets as you do on the assets. So if you've got a payroll that's $200 million, then you should be spending, if you spent $2 million on caring for them, that would be 1%, 1% maintenance. Most organizations don't do that. The Red Sox do. The Red Sox, John Henry, is a really good owner in terms of he's not afraid. He knows, he understands investment. He understands that the players are an investment and that caring for the players is an investment. So we had a tremendous organization that way in terms of being able to get the things that we needed and do the things that we needed. And that's, I think, a huge part of the success that organizations like the Red Sox have had over the years.
Yes, it's funny. When I think back to the late 70s and 80s, most professional teams didn't know how to spell the words massage therapist, let alone included.
Exactly. Well, most of them had a trainer. Yeah, that was it. They had an athletic trainer, and that was the end of it. And now, like
now
I said, you'd see most. Yep. Yeah, exactly. You'll have a nutritionist, and you'll have. And that's not counting the army of consultants like someone like you. They'd have a podiatrist, and they'd have a chiropractor, and they'd have they'd literally have a consultant available for almost every area that you could possibly think of.
The only thing we had, as I said, seven or eight
full-time staff.
Yeah. The only thing they don't have is enough time to recover. That's a whole other show that'll have to get you back. The time flew by. Michael Boyle. Michael, please give me the website again. People could find out all about you. And your organization and what you do.
Well, I said Body by Boyle is the best website, but if they go to Twitter, I'm mboyle1959 on Twitter, and I'm michael_boyle1959 on Instagram. I'm becoming a millennial, so I'm getting very good at social media.
Yeah, I get a lot of guests from that world. That's where we got you. Anyway, Michael, hold on, please, briefly. Everybody, we will be right back. Sports Doc. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors Inn, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Sunny Chicago, live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. And I want to welcome Scott Anderson. Scott, he's the chief customer officer at SyncThink, an advisor for Crash Course at TeachAids, the world of the concussion technology and head trauma technology. He goes back to his Stanford University. He was one of the leading directors of athletic training and sports medicine. I want to welcome Scott to the Sports Doctor. Welcome.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be with you, doctor. I appreciate
having
you.
Yeah. Okay, let's jump right in, Scott. Talk a little bit about you and what you do, in the world of concussion education. And mix in some of your background. I know you've been involved in the world of sports medicine for a long, long time. So give us some background.
Sure, yeah. Like you, my background comes from the clinical side and used to managing various injuries in the sports medicine world that occur in elite sport. And during my time at Stanford, as you mentioned, I've had some amazing opportunities to collaborate with top-notch faculty and researchers on the campus. And during my time doing that, I was exposed to really the really early stages of how novel solutions are created. And typically these are around technology. And I was fortunate enough to be involved in several of those as they went through various validation studies, various clinical trials and things like that. And it's, brought me to where I am today, which is, really helping evangelize technology and get it into people's hands so that they can improve what they're doing clinically as clinical folks, but also offer more robust solutions for patients. And that's ultimately my interest, is to help people no matter their age, and to provide them with access, early access to novel technological solutions. And with respect to concussion, these areas, both of focus with the work that I do with SyncThink and with Crash Course, are dear to my heart. And brain health is really an important topic. I believe, being in an environment, a robust academic environment like Stanford, I really understood that brain health is going to explode, on the consumer landscape, that people are going to be very interested in the future at being able to manage their own brain health. And so it's not just applying solutions or offering them solutions after they've had a history or a litany of head injury, so to speak, or perhaps cognitive decline sets in at an older age. It's what can we do to educate young people about, how to care for your brain properly, and what decisions can you make that will influence the future of your brain health?
Yeah.
And I think that's really where it brought me to Crash Course. Yeah.
Maybe starting with don't play football. I've been talking about the world of concussions and the challenges for 20 years, give or take a few weeks, on the Sports Doctor, longer. The awareness now of all aspects of concussion, head trauma, is now times 100 of what it was in the past. And it's great to see
you really, really paying such attention in the educational side of things, which is such a big deal, as well as the research and development side. That's why 40 years ago, one of my the famous kinesiotherapist, Bob Guider, we were just talking about him, you know, we had to go to tire companies so we could invent rubber bands to strengthen your feet and ankles, man. You know, mm-hmm. when you go back to athletic training and some of these different protocols and other things we're talking about in sports medicine and prevention, and then many times we're talking about, hey, work balance. We'll show you all sorts of research. We're talking about these areas. But the who is TeachAids, Scott?
TeachAids is a wonderful nonprofit organization started by a Stanford professor named Pia Sorkar, who is just a tremendous individual who you have to meet. Someone who really brings a novel approach to understanding and attacking issues that are prevalent in society around social health that have stigma attached to them. And so she really developed a specific methodology for how you get societies to better understand through proper educational materials and communication strategies how to reduce stigma and how to remove it from people's belief systems. Yes, yeah.
And we've been talking about childhood obesity again for decades. We're talking about the whole bullying side of things and the whole stigma that you mentioned. We have on the show, we talk a lot about disability challenges, again, with kids with these kinds of stigmas. And it's great to hear organization paying attention to that side of things. It's such an I imagine that crash course is one of the areas that you're adding to the TeachAid world, where you're talking about head trauma, concussions, and that type of awareness.
Absolutely. And this was something that was first really established in HIV education and AIDS education, and really brought to another topic that's prevalent in the U.S., which is a lot of stigma around concussion. And that's what we're faced with, is that we know that there's a lack of credible medical evidence supporting an evidence-based definition for this type of problem. And we also know that there's really no specific criteria for diagnosing the problem. And so what happens is you have materials that are outdated or insufficient and not properly educating parents and kids. And they're really not addressing the concerns from the kids' standpoint. And so that's what Pia has really done an amazing job, Dr. Sorkar, and the over 1,300 volunteers that have spent 2 years researching in the field with kids to understand what do they know, what do they not know, what are the misconceptions
about this
problem. What's
their website, Scott?
It's teachaids.org.
Okay, teachaids.org, and there they can get to the crash course information also?
That's right. There's information on there. And again, all the products that are available around concussion education, including the interactive film that most of our partners are distributing throughout the U.S. to youth sports organizations, they can access these for free. All of these materials have been created under a Creative Commons license, which means that nobody is profiting off of this information. This is the latest and greatest information around concussion education based on the credible evidence that exists today, and it is allowing kids to experience what it is to face concussion and to deal with the symptoms that are associated with it, and to deal with the severity of the injury, which is really a silent problem. You know,
it's a big deal.
It's
a big deal. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go over to radio shows. You can go back almost a decade, see who the guests were, what were the topics, listen to what you'd like. You could go over to newspaper articles and magazines. You could read my latest guest editorial with Lower Extremity Review, where we talk about all aspects of a team approach to various challenges in the world of sports medicine and some of the physical side of things. We're talking with Scott Anderson. And I want to ask you, Scott, in your background, tell us about SyncThink.
Sure, yeah. ThinkThink is a really great project that I was exposed to in my time at Stanford. It's a neurotechnology startup that developed a non-invasive virtual reality eye tracking goggle set that detects impairments associated with brain conditions by evaluating your eye movement. And so we had this mountain of credible evidence that has been established in partnership with the Brain Trauma Foundation and the Department of Defense over a 12-year period, and really been validated and FDA approved for use in detecting visual impairment, something that's highly prevalent in concussion and other brain health conditions as well.
Like my friends at Trazer, this is one of the invaluable tools, you're talking of the ThinkThink, where you can help evaluate when is somebody ready cognitively to go back to any kind of level of activity. And the reality has been for a million years, nobody knew, hey, how many fingers, you know, and this whole craziness. Now you're able to measure some things, and I would imagine that's an exciting, you know, but where better to get a couple of aspects of different kinds of research than an organization like Stanford University, right?
That's right. No better place.
You know, you're really a lucky guy in that respect. How have you put your skills in the world of sports medicine and athletic training to work with this side of things? It seems like it's a great marriage because you talked about you're really interested in the whole innovative side of education.
That's right. And I think sports medicine professionals are problem solvers at heart, and they're trying to identify they see a lot of patients, they see a lot of different complaints, but they're trying to comfort the patient and solve their problem. And so I think the same applies to the world of healthcare technology and innovation, is how can we identify novel solutions that are going to improve patient outcomes, and what value add can these bring to clinicians, and how can we educate them about how they can adopt them into their clinical practice seamlessly? And so that's where I spend my time, is, you know, really evangelizing technologies that have a specific value add that replaces or improves upon someone's clinical evaluation and brings information to the patient that, or whoever is receiving the information, that they normally wouldn't get.
Yes, and of course the invaluable area, using as an example youth sports and those challenges of families, you were at a university, the student athlete, the whole challenges of the injury prevention, dealing with competitive athletes, dealing with parents and families of competitive athletes. It's one of the reasons I wrote the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was that whole is an epidemic of overuse injuries in youth sports. And I want to talk a little bit about that with you when we come back. We're talking with Scott Anderson, and we're talking education, sports medicine education, concussion education, very, very important areas. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. And you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we're back. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Sports medicine, fitness, wellness, the mental and physical game, we pay attention to all of it on the Sports Doctor. We're following up a little with Scott Anderson, talking about the importance of education and the whole world of sports medicine. And I've always felt, Scott, that one of the most valuable members of the team, the athletic trainers, the ability to deal with almost catastrophes on the field, as well as keeping athletes in shape, trying to keep them out of trouble, et cetera. And I think that the athletic trainer, did you play any sports yourself?
Of course. I was heavily involved in many sports, baseball, football, wrestling. I was very involved.
Yeah, and a lot of times we see that kind of experience, lends a lot to being ready sometimes to help families and or coaches, at the competitive level. Again, you have coaches, you have families and parents, athletes themselves, who are really, really pushing to try to get back sometimes before they're ready. And those kinds of challenges, I would think, that's why I always ask you guys, how your psychology skills are going when it comes to that side of it.
Right. That's correct. Yes, we are problem solvers and part-time psychologists, yes, because the mental aspect is a huge part of the recovery process. And not only do they have to prove to us that they're safe to play, but they have to prove to themselves that it's safe for them to do what they normally do, right? So
I've had mental coaches and sports psychologists on the show specializing precisely in the challenge of coming back from a particular, could be a season-ending injury or a potential career-threatening injury or whatever it happens to be, it's endless. And the psychological challenge that sometimes people would take for granted, well, of course they're going to be fine. And it ends up that it's a whole different story. And again, still left out super important area of recovery. And the idea of, again, the over-demanding schedules, over-demanding, whether it's coach or parental pressure, is that mental sometimes side of things. It's one of the reasons why one of the very important chapters in my book, #KSportsParents, in my section, The Sports Doctor's In, is called Youth, Sports, and Drugs. And this whole idea of the challenge of everybody's familiar with the pain medicine challenge of athletics and sports and society in general. And, so sometimes these kinds of challenges, when you're working with some of these athletes, are you dealing with the university still in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, our founder at SyncThink is a neurosurgeon there and still involved, obviously in the care of patients. And so we have quite a bit of ongoing research and other projects that we're affiliated with the university too as well. And so it's a very close relationship.
Yes, you'll hook me up with him. I've had numerous neurosurgeons on the show, again, talking about the challenge. One of the chapters in my book is called What Are We Gonna Do About Youth Tackle Football? I call it one of our society's great dilemmas. Knowing what we know, what are we going to do about this? There is no safe tackle football. We talk about it all the time. And in the world, everything we could do, I'm all in favor of all of the technology to try to analyze and deal with all aspects of the head trauma side. But when you have a sport that's based on collisions, either with somebody else or the ground, then we have to face that great dilemma. But I'm not going to put you on the hook about that. But being on the research side and developing tools to help is terrific. And that's my hat's off to groups, again, whether it's SyncThink. You're talking again about groups like the TeachAids, and your right in your face title, Crash Course, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, it's both, you know, they're both right on the cutting edge a little bit. And, you know, they're both in a place to learn a lot and to inform others about, you know, how we can do things better and how we can do things safer for the future. You know, and I think we really have to have a better understanding of how to protect our kids. And, you know, with concussions specifically, I think there is quite a bit of misinformation that has made people not realize the long-term effects or potentially how it affects other aspects of life, you know, and what we see all too often is that there are these, you know, secondary comorbidities that develop from people just nonchalantly, you know, telling somebody that it's okay to play with the concussion or that they don't need to pay attention to their symptoms because, you know, they're going to lose their scholarship or something like that. It's just, you know, there needs to be a mindset switch in that regard. And
The boy
really
or girl.
Prioritize the welfare of the kids.
The athletes themselves. I remember the Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher with the Bears, kiddingly. He'd say, you know, if they rung my bell, I would tell them my foot hurts. I don't want to be pulled out of the game. It's a big, big challenge. What is Think Think's website, Scott?
It's www.think, S-Y-N-C, think, T-H-I-N-K, .com.
Yes, both of those organizations we definitely have and recommend people getting involved. You know, last week from the UK, we had on Gordon McClelland with Working with Parents in Sports. We've had the National Alliance of Youth Sports people on. We have iSport 360, the whole area of safety in sport, right smack in the middle. Again, youth sports, that doesn't exclude, you know, the adults. But these challenges, as you mentioned, these huge factors that, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, helmets are great to prevent skull fractures. But there's no helmet that's going to prevent the slamming around of the brain and the head when we're talking about collision sports. And when I've had some psychologists who work with schools on, Scott, they had very alarming information of some of the effects, again, of head trauma with all the things you talked about, whether it's coming back too soon or it's not an exact science. It's not even close. And, you know, you talk to any neurosurgeon and they roll their eyes when you ask them maybe about football.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the great things about the Crash Course product is it really allows people to see what happens with concussion without taking on the individual risk, right? I can watch somebody experiencing concussion and I can experience firsthand what the symptoms are like, but I don't actually have to have one in order to do that. And the TeachAids organization has done over the years of research in developing this product is that's what they found with kids is that they have misperceptions about the severity of this injury going into this, but when they're exposed to this type of information, they realize afterwards, wow, this is a really serious problem. I didn't realize it was this serious, and maybe I should reconsider playing through the injury if this happens to me, or I should reconsider not saying anything to anybody because I want to continue to help my team. And what they don't realize is that the performance impact or the negative impact on performance by having to continue to play is detrimental to not only their long-term health, but also to the team's performance over time. And that's really the mission behind what Crash Course is doing, is teaching people it's okay to say, I'm not right. It's okay to say, I have certain symptoms and I need to be evaluated. It's okay to realize the severity of the injury, even though it's invisible and nobody can see it like a sprained ankle. People will still understand that you're dealing with a serious problem.
Scott, give me the two websites for Crash Course and SynThink real quickly before we run out of time.
Sure, yeah. So teachaid.org, and you'll find information on Crash Course in the concussion section right on the homepage. And then www.SynThink.com for SynThink.
Great. Scott Anderson, Sports Medicine World, thanks so much for joining us. Everybody, we will be right back. Hold on, Scott, with the Doctors In segment.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Welcome to the Sports Doctor's In segment, where we mention some upcoming shows, exciting guests, and answer a few emails. Great shows coming up the next couple of weeks. Lou Vickery. I was a guest on Lou's show, Lou in the Morning. Lou was a pitcher for the Yankees in the 60s. And the St. Louis Cardinals. He's written numerous books. He's got a great blog going. His show is called Lou in the Morning. I did twice a month with him for a couple of years. He's going to be joining me next week. And one of my favorite athletic trainers with U.S. soccer, we were together with sports performance volleyball. He's down in Florida now. Jim Spinali will be joining me. He's with another soccer group. The following week, one of the world's top sports therapists, mentor of mine, Bob Guida, will be joining me. And one of the docs he's working with, chiropractic physician, Dr. Vic Wojas. Bob Guida is going to be introducing me. I'm honored. He'll be introducing me at the end of the month for my induction into the National Fitness Hall of Fame. And, Bob is truly one of the innovators in so many different areas of sports medicine, sports performance, peripheral heart action. That's my first guest, Michael Boyle mentioned. Who knows, Bob? So exciting stuff coming up on the Sports Doctor. If you want, go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You could go to magazine articles. You could read lots of different past newspaper articles on a myriad of subjects. And you can go over to radio shows and go back and see which guests were on. You go back years and the endless topics that are included on the Sports Doctor. You can check it out. Let's see if we can get a couple emails in here. Pat, I'm a 45-year-old runner. I have hammer toes. I've got bunions. What do you think? Hey, great. If you're running and it's not bothering you, then you just want to make sure you got enough room in your shoes. It's smart to see podiatry if you got any corns or calluses involved with those hammer toes, because podiatry can painlessly trim those down every couple of months, keep you comfortable. We're not looking to operate necessarily on someone's feet, but sometimes there are surgical problems.
bunion correction is one of the most common problems, surgical problems we see in podiatry. But especially if you're an athlete, the orthotics could be a godsend for you, Pat, to slow down the deformity itself and help control the kind of motion that's related to the hammer, toes, and or bunions. So look conservative. Pay attention to the room in the toe box. If you have children, pay attention, because the kind of foot that develops the bunion and or hammer toes is often inherited. Phyllis says, my son loves hockey. He's 14 years old. His knees are always bothering him. Phyllis, I've been putting orthotics in skates for decades. It's very exciting. Not only can proper orthotics make a big difference in knee abuse in skating, the other side is that he'll be a step or two quicker when done properly. So you want to pay attention to, of course, the strengthening side, the rehabilitation side. You want to get a diagnosis if you need to see an orthopedist and or physical therapist. Often, if your son's feet don't hurt, they're ignored. Especially the pronated or rolled-in flat-type foot is famous for the kind of torque that aggravates knees. Good news, again, that double whammy, properly done orthotics, not only make a big difference in knee problems. Half the skaters I've seen over the decades, it's knee trouble. Not only will it help in that, but it will also make a difference in edging, stability, speed. That's exciting. And again, if you want to read about orthotics and skating, go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. Newspaper articles. Janine says, more knees. My 15-year-old daughter is a serious tennis player. She was diagnosed with Osgood-Schlatter. Osgood-Schlatter is a knee concern. Talking with her and Phyllis, Osgood-Schlatter is where the kneecap or the patella tendon is stretched excessively because of rapid growth. And its attachment to the top of the shin bone is aggravated or irritated. The attachment is pulled, it's strained, it's stressed. You can develop a bump in true Osgood below the knee. And often, especially in the world of tennis, you have to consider backing off so much running and pounding. You definitely want to back off running, pounding in practice. Again, I've had great success with orthotics. They don't stop your daughter from growing. Although at 15 years old, her growth probably is about over. But orthotics can control the twisting and torque, which is an aggravator for Osgood. Now, at 15 years old, we might see it calms down on its own because of the fact that the rapid growth might be over. But you really want to pay attention. This has been a persistent problem, whether she's got pronated feet or high arches. Orthotics can really, really be helpful, but you want to go to sports podiatry that side of it. Also, her shoes, you want to be cognizant of what's the best shoe for her. And absolutely also, the physical therapy can help with Osgood, whether it's ultrasound to the area or soft tissue type therapy. Acupuncture could be super helpful with something like this. But if you don't control the twisting and torque, females, girls, wider hips, slightly different angle called the Q angle down to the knee. So the rotation of the knee is affected. It's one of my pet peeves over the decades, screaming about how important it is to pay attention to this because of so many still 5-6-1 ACL serious knee injury ligament tears in girls to boys as at least being related. So you want to pay attention again to the biomechanics, both these individuals, whether we're talking a 14-year-old hockey player or a 15-year-old tennis player. If we've got persistent knee trouble, you want to look at, pay attention to foot mechanics. Matt says, your specialization article, young athletes, one sport of many. You know, Matt, it's something we talk about all the time. Ideally, we want all young children playing multiple sports. Ideally, playing different sports is an advantage. It really, really is. The Prodigy Sports could be a different story. Bingo, out of time. Catch you next week. Dr. Bob Weil here. Thanks so much for listening. It's the Sports Doctor.